Guys, we're joined by television and film director Blair Skinner. Blair, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us on tonight's show.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
It's an honor, Blair. It's an honor. Blair, for our listening audience out there, tell us what or who began your love of filmmaking. I know that you have had the opportunity to work on some amazing films, and you know you've got some great upcoming projects. What started you on the path of filmmaking?
Probably my parents, because they let me watch a bunch of movies growing up. And some movies that I don't even think I probably should have been able to watch, like movies like Scream or like The Shining. But I'm so grateful that they let me watch them, because those are awesome movies. And they totally kind of like shaped the way that I thought about not just life, but movies. So I think probably my parents are like the biggest influence, starting off, and they had a video camera when I was younger, so I just kind of stole that and just started making like videos with my cousins and my friends. So I think just like movies and my parents.
Okay. Biggest influence. That's amazing. The fact that you watched a lot of horror movies is pretty neat too, because
I was a huge like horror movie kid. Like I watched Nightmare on Elm Street. I love the Halloween movies. I think I've seen all of them. And then Friday the 13th, I've seen like up to like, I don't know, 7 or 8, whatever it goes up to. And then I got bored because it was the same in every Friday the 13th movie.
I hear you. This is kind of off a little bit of a deviation away from my original questions, but were you a fan of the newest remake of Nightmare on Elm Street? I think it starred Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, was that the guy that played Freddy?
Yes.
Yeah, I liked it. I wasn't, like, obsessed with it. A lot of the remakes I'm not crazy about, like, they remade Halloween, and, like, Rob Zombie did it, and I was just, like, I love the original Halloween so much. Even, like, the sequels are okay, but, like, the original is so great.
Absolutely.
But, I thought the actor that played Freddy, in the new Nightmare on Elm Street was awesome, but, yeah, it wasn't super memorable.
Okay. Your directing style is quite unique. I was wondering who influenced you the most in terms of, just your filmmaking and directing style. Who would you say? Cause you know, all great directors have, just sort of speak like their calling card, or, you know, like a way that people know. Who would you say influenced your style?
A couple of my favorite directors are, Penny Marshall and Nora Ephron and Nancy Myers. I think Penny Marshall is, like, one of my favorite directors, that I really love her style, and, like, I just look up to her so much. And how she, like, directs. Like, I watch a lot of the behind-the-scenes with, like, what she did with Big and A League of Their Own, and she's just so, it looks like, she's really chill on set, which I'm super chill when I'm, like, working, because I don't want a chaotic, like, atmosphere or whatever. And I just feel like the way that she captures comedy is so subtle that, like, I want to be able to do that. I want to be just like that. And I'm hopefully getting there. I know I haven't gotten there yet, but I think she's definitely influenced me the most. And, I think she's probably the most influential. And Nora Ephron as well. I think she's amazing. I wish she was still alive, because she would have been awesome to meet. I think she's also really great at capturing, like, these subtle, funny moments in life that just, like, sometimes you can, like, get passed up in real life, but they are able to capture them on film in, like, an amazing way. So I think those two lovely ladies have influenced me the most.
Absolutely. Those are two really good role models, or people to look up to, women to look up to. And I think you hit it on the nail when you said that they had this way of just capturing things in such a subtle way. You know, with filmmaking, I don't profess to be a guru or anything, but I know that one key component, or one thing that makes filmmaking so exciting, is that it should be able to kind of mirror, you know, life in certain aspects. And so I think if you can really capture that with, you know, like your directing, and if that the acting is up to par, I mean, you just have like a stellar movie. And that's why we have so many, you know, the Criterion Collection is like just loaded with great movies, you know. And
I hope to be able to start like really being able to capture that, and it starts to be kind of effortless in the way that I can do that. But it seems like it does take a lot of effort, though, just to create those like small moments to get them just right. So that's
absolutely
a challenge.
What projects are you currently working on? I know you've been quite busy. Could you tell us a little bit about what you've been working on?
Yeah. Like, for my personal projects, I'm in post-production on this short film, Eleanor, the Forgotten Princess. That is a project that me and my producing partner, Amy Green, she wrote it, and then I produced and directed it, and she also produced with me. So we're in post on that. It's about a princess that turns into a world's first villain, and it's super exciting. Post-production's been a very long process because there's, like, visual effects and stuff, so it's just very lengthy, and there's people doing us favors. But in my professional life, I'm working on this epic series called Comedians, which stars Billy Crystal and Josh Gad, which is super cool. I'm a producer assistant on that, so I kind of just, like, help out the producer and, like, help schedule and all that kind of fun stuff, which is really cool to learn and get to, like, see people interacting on set and, like, see the different directors that come in and out and stuff. So that's what I'm working on right now. And then in the spring, I'll be working on Transparent on Amazon for season 2. I worked on the first season, and we just got picked up for season 2, so that's really exciting. So that won't start till like, the spring, but I'll be working on that next.
That's exciting, though. I mean, just, you know, as you know, with films and television especially, you know, whenever you can get, you know, garner an additional season or, you know, it's amazing because so many shows are canceled, you know, before they even take off, you know. And
Yeah. I know. This is going to be my first show that had a season 2. I worked on Six Million Repent, and that was only one season, and then a lot of pilots that didn't go, but it was my first season 2, so I'm excited to see how that all works out.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. Congrats.
Thanks.
Now, Blair, where can our listening audience learn more about you?
Let's see. Probably Facebook is the easiest, because I'm always posting random things, and I am under Blair House of Skinner, House of, because I'm obsessed with Game of Thrones right now.
Okay.
And then on Twitter, it's super easy. Like, I'll post stuff, like, updates on, like, my short films and whatever projects I'm on, and my username is @themoviechick. That's C-H-I-C, if I spell chick. But, I have a website, too, but it's not, like, super updated. But I'll work on that, and I'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
Twitter and Facebook, that's where to find me.
Okay. When I initially saw your Facebook handle, I figured you were a huge Game of Thrones fan.
Uh-huh.
So,
yes.
That's awesome.
That is my favorite show right now, hands down.
Yes, absolutely. Likewise, I was a huge fan of Boardwalk Empire, but it unfortunately came to an end in October, and so, just about a month ago, and so I was, you know, Game of Thrones is my new fix.
Nice. I never watched Boardwalk Empire. They kind of planned on it ending there, or did they, like, cut it short?
It actually got cut short because it took place during Prohibition. And I think, just honestly looking at it, they probably could have taken it all the way out to maybe even the 60s. But I think Game of Thrones just killed it in HBO. And so so they ended it. But it's a great show. It's set in the 1930s, and it covers, like, Atlantic City, Chicago, New York, Boston. And You've got some heavy hitters like Charlie Luciano, which aka Lucky Luciano, and Al Capone, Arnold Rothstein, Joe Kennedy, and it's really cool. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. It's as brutal, and it's got all the explicit sex, and it's a crazy show.
It's on HBO, right?
It's on HBO.
Okay, there you go. That's where you get it all. Awesome. Maybe I'll check it out then. How many seasons was it? Like four?
It was actually five seasons.
Okay. Cool. Well, then I could just like binge watch it all.
Yes, ma'am.
Nice.
Now, Blair, the filmmaking industry is quite arduous, as you know. I don't have to tell you. So my next question is what advice would you give to someone who is seeking a career in the film or entertainment industry such as yourself?
Yeah, my advice, at least to, like, younger people that are, like, just starting out, I didn't end up going to film school. I went for, like, a semester, and then I kind of reached out to people that were out here get their advice and like opinion on like should I finish film school or like should I come out here and start working. And I'm not like advocating like quit school or anything, but at least in the film world you don't really need to have like a film school degree to like move up. So like my advice would be, if you can, I mean, if you get an awesome film school like USC or UCLA, 100% do that, because the alumni are like amazing and will help you out incredibly. But if you could also just move out here and like start working and like work your way up, I think that's the way to do it. That's kind of like what I've been doing, slowly moving up. But and then my other advice would be, go to film festivals. I've met a lot of really cool people at film festivals, like producers that are either like lower, like right at the beginning, and then you're going to catch them on their way up, or like a big producer that's there, and like just out of luck you get to talk to them and like maybe they like you and then you can like move up from there. But I think film festivals are a really great place to meet industry people and to make connections. And then anywhere in LA you can just run into people practically that can help you out. But yeah, film festivals, 100%.
Absolutely. Blair, I think that's wonderful advice, and thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, Blair, I'm all out of questions. My last question is actually, I guess it's more of just a personal opinion, but what are your thoughts on the state of film? Do you think that movie theaters will one day become obsolete? I know, you know, you're currently working on some, you know, the Amazon series, and you've done work with web series. What are your thoughts on the state of film?
Well, I hope that movie theaters don't go away. I feel like that's like my private little place where I get to go, even though it's like with a huge audience or something. It's just like my place where I can go and like shut out the world and just be completely focused on a movie. And I don't think I can see them going away, because it's like, there's still plays going on, like, you know, the Pantages Theater or whatever. Like, people still go to plays and they see these, like, live things happening. And, like, yeah, it's different from movie theaters, but I still think people are going to want to, like, have that place to go. Like, dinner and a movie, it's, like, the perfect date. And I know the drive-ins, like, are gone now, which drive-in theaters are awesome. But I don't know. I don't think I can see movie theaters going away. I really hope they don't. But I do love, like, new media, like Amazon, like what they're doing, and Netflix. So it's hard, because you love those things that you can get quickly online, but at the same time, I love going to a movie theater. So I think that Amazon should, like, open up a movie theater.
Absolutely.
For all of their series and stuff that they do. I think that can be a compromise or something.
Absolutely. I think, you know, movie theaters just have that kind of, like, aesthetically pleasing quality about them, you know, similar to going into like a record store. You know, yes, you can get MP3s and just download, you know, music to your phone, but, you know, you've still got the crowd of people, you know, like a lot of millennials are getting back into vinyl, you know, collecting vinyl.
Yeah.
And so So when
I totally asked my mom for a record player for Christmas, so she has to get it. Because I really want to start listening to records so bad.
It's a fun hobby, let me tell you. Blair, it's been an honor to speak with you on tonight's show, and I'm all out of questions, but I want to open the floor up to you if there's anything you'd like to say to our listening audience.
Yeah, we'll look forward to Eleanor the Forgotten Princess sometime in 2015. I am promising that it's going to be done by 2015. We just shot it last year in last December, so we're coming up on our year anniversary of making it, so... I think, and go to theforgottenprincess.com, check out, and if you guys are in LA and are looking for crew or whatever, I have some awesome people that worked on my short that I would be happy to hook you up with. And you can email me at Blair, B-L-A-I-R, Skinner, S-K-I-N-N-E-R, the number 7 at Gmail, and hit me up if you want to make a project as well.
Awesome. Guys, if you're listening to this on SoundCloud, check out our website. It's www.wittenradio.com. And you can also listen to this interview. It's in the iTunes store under podcast. Just search our show name, Redefining the Counterculture, or Witten Radio, and you can download this episode for free in iTunes. And if you've got a mobile phone or a mobile device with Wi-Fi connectivity, you can download the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's free of charge. It's in the Google Play Store as well as the iTunes Store. And our show name is Redefining the Counterculture. And you guys can download that and you can stream this interview as well as many others. There's also some other podcasts on there from NPR, ABC, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you so much.